Good afternoon. I'm Jamila Erickson here with today's Midday Interview. Cleve Callison, WHQR station manager, is with me today, and we'll be talking about sacred harp singing, which is a type of shape note singing, and he knows a good deal about it and has a real passion for it. So, Cleve, welcome, and thanks for coming in.
Oh, glad to do it. Thank you. I know people have heard me talk about it in one fashion or another before on the station, but this is something that I've been involved with almost as long as I've been in public radio. In fact, it started with a story that I did for my public radio station in Alabama way back when, and that led to a documentary for NPR, which we've played a couple of times on the station. But it's an interesting phenomenon that people who study sacred harp from kind of a distance often get kind of sucked into it. You know, that's that there's a long tradition of folklorists coming to study this very interesting phenomenon because it's really kind of unique. But then also they get caught up and become singers themselves. They kind of go native.
Now, what are shape notes, and then what is sacred harp?
Well, shape notes are a way, they were developed as a way to teach people how to sing, because you can tie the shapes on the staff to a particular interval. Now, we use four shapes, but there are seven shape systems that are common, say, in Western North Carolina, a different kind of tradition where you have a note for do, re, mi, fa, sol, la. In this tradition, the sacred harp tradition, we use four shapes, and they're doubled plus a leading note. And if I can do this, I know if I can do it all by myself, but I'll try.
Yeah.
Fa, sol, la, fa, sol, la, mi, fa. And that's the scale, and you hear the intervals based on those notes. And so for people who can't really read music, and I'm one of those people, you can recognize the shapes, and you can sort of hear this in your head. Part of it is the tradition of singing the shapes before you actually sing the song. So you get the tune fixed in your mind, and then you go ahead and sing the song. So Sacred Harp is the name of this book, first published in 1844. It's been in print ever since then, and it's the best known of literally hundreds of shape note tune books that were published in the 19th century and on beyond.
All right. Now, let me just back up a little bit if people are trying to imagine this in their own minds.
Okay.
A shape note is not the usual little oval, either clear or blacked in, with a, you know, a little flags on it, whatnot. It actually is a shape. It could be a diamond or a square or
right.
a circle.
The fa sol la that I was mentioning, the fa is a sort of triangular note that looks like a boat flag or something. Sol is a typical round note, as you would see in regular music, and la is a rectangle.
Hmm.
And so when you see the shapes, they're on the staff in the position that they would be in any kind of music. But just the different shapes helps you get the sense of the interval of that music and whether it's going up or down, and helps you maintain the right kind of key relationship that you can't really do with round notes if you don't know how to read music.
Right. What I think is most interesting to me about this is that it is not meant for performance. There's no audience. It's a participatory thing. It's really a worship experience in many ways because they are Protestant hymn tunes for the most part.
Right.
But they are not done in a church setting. They're some other gathering indoors or outdoors. Would you describe what a gathering or singing is like, how people are seated and where the leader is?
Sure. Well, I will say it did grow out of church services in colonial New England. The Congregationalists, as the churches got bigger and they had sort of professionally trained voices or different types of singers, they wanted to kind of reclaim it for the entire congregation. So what they did was to recast these songs so that the melody of the song is not given to the sopranos. The melody of the song is given to the tenor line, and both men and women can sing the tenor. So the soprano then becomes a harmony part up above it. So the melody is kind of buried in the middle, but that means lots of people can sing the melody.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come together in these singings. People have different voice parts. I typically sing bass, although occasionally I'll sing the tenor line, the melody line. Everybody sits in a hollow square. The basses sit across from the sopranos, which are called trebles in this tradition, and the tenors sit across from the altos. So it is a square. Leaders are called on. Everybody who's there gets to lead if they want to, and they come to the center of the square, and they'll call out a number of a song, like Africa. They'll just call out 178, and then everybody tunes to 178, and they just let her rip.
Wow. Now, the leader also standing in the center of the circle is the one who hears the whole effect of it and really
Correct.
Can help shape it. And also the leader gives the pitch. Which is kind of out of his or her head,
right? Well, the leader doesn't always give the pitch. Often at big singings, there'll be somebody up front who's accustomed to doing that.
Okay.
And it's very much relative pitch. It's kind of adjusted. You know, the sopranos might say, oh, that's too high, and they'll take it down. Or the basses might say, we're scraping bottom, you know, let's bring it up a little bit.
All
right. So very much relative, but then within that, of course, follows. The intervals are there, but
right.
they don't exactly meet A440 or standard tuning.
Gotcha. If you're just joining us, you're hearing Cleve Callison talking about shape note singing, particularly sacred harp singing, using this wonderful book that was compiled in what year?
1844, first publication.
And
another one
print.
From that era is called the Christian Harmony, and there's a Southern Harmony and lots of others.
We're going to hear a little bit of this right now, but it's not, if you actually heard a shape note group or you were in a shape note group, the sound is a bit rough. It's intense. It isn't as perhaps melodic and sweet as this, because we're going to actually hear some professional singers.
Yes, this is the Hillier consort. They called His Majesty's Clarks, directed by Paul Hillier.
And this particular piece is called Africa?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll hear a little bit of that.
Now, we're hearing in that second stanza the women's voices come in. We started out with just men's voices in the first. That is by William Billings, who was a really colorful character in 18th century music, and he wrote it as a setting of words by Isaac Watts. That's very typical. The songs in here are tunes that are put to conventional words, and Isaac Watts is very well represented, as is Charles Wesley and some of the better-known writers of that. Now, we don't sing in quite, as you say, that kind of choral style. We're much rawer and rougher around the edges, but that's a favorite song Africa is of singers these days.
And when you're singing shape notes in a group at a singing, Cleve, what is the experience like? Is it a worship experience? Is it an ecstatic experience? Or is it more of a musical feeling?
All of the above. You know, you mentioned these are Protestant hymns, but I know people who are entirely secular who sing it. Jewish people sing it. Mm-hmm. People from other traditions do. Catholics, Protestants. For many people, it does really spring out of that tradition, and it has its roots in that, and people do respond to it. But the power of it and the emotion of it, I think, go back partly to the words, but also partly just to the experience of singing with people. You're singing at the top of your voice. This is really important. You're really singing very loud and very fast, and you get caught up in it, and you have this great sense of being part of a choir of other people. It's not just you singing. So the ecstasy really is there for a lot of people, although it's not necessarily in traditional religious ways, but for many people it is.
Right. And that answers a question. When you first came on staff here, one of the things I remember asking you is if you were a good singer, and you said, well, I don't know if I'm a good singer, but I'm a loud singer.
Yes.
So you're very much in that tradition. And one thing we didn't mention, it is always a cappella. There is no instrumentation. It is just the voices pouring themselves out at full volume and at a pace together.
Right. Yeah. Every once in a while, they might use a pitch pipe to key the song, but usually it's just keyed by the voice, and it's only the voice. So we had, back in April, we had an all-day singing at the Cameron Art Museum. We had 53 people from all around the Southeast region coming to this. What we're trying to do is have that lead into a monthly singing, and the very first one of those is going to be a week from Sunday, the 28th, from 2 to 4, also at the Cameron Museum. We had a lovely note from Ann Brennan of the Cameron Museum, who was working there the day that this was going on, and she said just hearing this music engulfing the Cameron just took her completely out of what she was working on, which was some kind of project or other, and she was just focusing in on that all day. And so she said they're very happy to have us come back to the Cameron, and we're excited about that too.
So it's Sunday the 28th from 2 to 4 at
the
Cameron Art Museum. And Cleve, if someone wants to get more information about this particular gathering or about shape note singing in general and sacred harp, where would you send them for the information?
I can give you a web address, bit.ly and then slash WILMNC Sacred Harp, WILMNC Sacred Harp.
All right, and we will be posting this interview on our website, whqr.org, and I will give you a link to that if you go to our website to read more about it.
And let me just say, beginners are welcome because, you know, we know there are not a lot of experienced singers around here, and we will have songbooks for people to look at and to sing from.
So. And instructions. So everybody will learn how to recognize the shapes.
We'll give it our darndest.
We'll give it our darndest.
we'll try to make this thing get off the ground.
That sounds wonderful. Sacred harp singing, a type of shape note singing that Cleve Callison is interested in, and we hope that you are as well. So on Sunday the 28th at the Cameron Art Museum from 2 to 4, you can gather for a singing. Thank you, Cleve.
Glad to be here. Thank you so much.
This is WHQR.